Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
Thank you for everybody who's put the best foot forward in 2015. But the truth is that 2016 is going to be bigger, better, stronger than you've ever experienced before in your entire life. In your entire life, in the entirety of your life, this is designed by God to be your best year. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. It's designed by God. The ways of the righteous spiral upwards. And if God held back stuff in 2015, it's because he meant for it to come in 2016. God's the God of breakthrough. He's the God who loves you. He gets you. He's got you. He's got your future. He gets everything about you. And God's prepared more than what you could ever ask or imagine for 2016. It's going to be an awesome year. And, you know, I said in the first service, we kind of crash landed into 2016. Got a fast coming up when the cupboards are filled with Ferrero Rocher and I just eat them. I don't read the cover. It just seems like an anomaly. When your pantry is full of junk, Colin calls for a fast. We probably need like as if we had guns. We probably need to bring it all in, just all the stuff. Just bring it in and dedicate it to the Lord Jesus Christ or something like that. Or just throw it away. If you've got discipline to keep it for 21 days, good on you. You're far better person than I am. And so I've kind of crash landed it. You know, a week ago, I was eating Doritos in my hot tub with my son. And then tomorrow, what is this vegetable thing that's going around the place? It's just, what a change. What a change is going on in the Gilpin household and in your household. Ryan went to KL for a couple of days. And he, just like his dad, he was lining up in KL at the wrong gate for the wrong plane to the right destination. And so he put his boarding pass through and it went beep, rejected. And he realized that his plane had left half an hour ago. Somehow he believes in miracles. And so he ran for his life, stopped halfway through thinking there's no use, it's already gone. And then when he got to the gate, three people are standing at the gate because their machine had broken down. And there was three people plus Ryan now waiting for the machine to get fixed. And so he caught his plane to KL. Is God gracious? He's gracious over your dumbness. He's just half the miracles he does, he's thinking, oh, do I have to do that kind of miracle, you know? It's just because we're so stupid. But I've missed a lot of planes in my life, and I've been at a lot of gates that have not been the right gate. I've turned out okay, slightly strange, but it's great to have Ryan home. So, and I said in the first service that kind of like everybody's now moving from playfulness back into purposefulness. And it's quite a hard thing, but it fits you well because you were born not for pleasure. You were born for purpose. You weren't born for the armchair, even though we've loved the armchair over the last couple of weeks. We've loved the armchair. And I bought a kitten for Jen for Christmas, and someone else bought it. But I gave it to her, and it just kind of goes to sleep just underneath her chin, just for hours on end. And it came over to me just for about 5 minutes, and then did the longest jump back to Jen. She loved that. So we've had some great time on armchairs, but adventure's better than armchair because you were born for the spirit of adventure. And not even for success, even though God wants to succeed in all we do. It's beyond prosperity. It's the adventure of life. It's coming back into purposefulness. And this meeting today, this message today is all about you refinding your purpose. Refinding what you were born for, like to influence planet Earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, like to be like Bethel, to be like a gateway between heaven and earth, and through your gifting and through your opportunity to influence the world around about you. It's getting you back into purpose because you weren't born for survival. You weren't born just to make it. You were born to do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are born with a destiny, with a destiny. So I wanna play with you just slightly and say that your destiny isn't just greater than your dead ends. Your destiny is the complete opposite of your dead ends. Whatever your dead ends are over the last year or in your entire life, your destiny isn't just greater than your dead ends. Your destiny is the opposite. Your purpose in life, the purpose for which God has brought you, isn't just greater than your past. Your purpose is the exact opposite. Your purpose in life is the exact opposite of your past. This is scripture. I'll come to it in a second. Your purpose in life is the exact opposite of your past. Your future isn't just greater than your feelings. Your future is the exact opposite of the way you felt on your lowest day, the way you feel coming into a new year, the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel about life, the way you feel about the contradictions, the way you feel about the tensions, the way you feel about the aggravations. Your future is the exact opposite of the sum total of all your feelings. The Bible says this. It says that God builds his greatest strengths on top of our greatest weaknesses. That if you want to find your future, if you want to find your purpose, it's the direct inverse, that's mathematical. Instead of 1/4, it's 4/1. It's the exact inverse of your past. Whatever you are, you're not. Whatever you think you are the exact opposite. However you feel, you're not. Everything that God does, he builds on top of the exact opposite. Whenever God finds a weakness, God has the equivalent and greater strength to be cast on top of. So whatever is holding you back shall be the thing that thrusts you forward. Whatever has done damage in your past will be the springboard to the destiny of your future. Because that's how God works. This is your God. So don't take your feelings and your past, your dead ends as gospel. It's only a feeling. It's only the past. It's only a dead end. There's an anointing, there's power, there's breakthrough, and it's called the will of God for your life. It's being purpose-driven by God. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, his power is made not pretty good. It's not just filling in for the moment. His power is made perfect. This is, if you want to know the perfect power of God, it's found in your perfect future. The perfect power of God is found in the future that God has for you. His perfect power is, his power is made perfect in your, not despite of. It's not pushing to the side. His power is made perfect in your weaknesses. And you're more conscious of your weakness than your strength. You know all about your weakness. Inverse it right now. Change it from 4/1 to 1/4, to completely change it. And now we've got an indication of how great your future is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2. For when I'm weak, that's where I'll be strong. If strength's like cities, God builds his greatest cities on our greatest fault lines. If you're a city, you wouldn't be a Sydney, you'd be a Tokyo. If you're a city, you wouldn't be a New York, you'd be a Los Angeles. Because when cities of strength are built on fault lines of weakness, all glory goes to God. That's God's primary plan for your life, to build a Tokyo, to build a Los Angeles, to build a San Francisco, right on the fault lines of your history, right on the fault lines of your past. That's the will of God concerning you. That's the will of God to your life. Never feel constrained by your past. Forget what it's behind. Press on toward the higher and greater and vastly different calling that God has for your life. There are no dead ends, because destiny breaks the dead ends. It contradicts everything about you. If you want to know your future, take a look at your past and reverse it. So this is the prayer of Jabez we're talking about today. He had that revelation and God honored him. He knew it. He didn't settle in it, his pain and his sorrow. He knew it. God's got the exact opposite for me. And while there's 600 names mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 to chapter 9, from Adam to Saul, the 600 names, some are pulled out in the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. But the only name pulled out of these 600 names is the name of Jabez. Pulled out and written about. Two sentences written about the name of Jabez, because he knew it. He thought, I'm not having this. I'm not settling in my past. My past is not my future. My future is the identical opposite to my past. And he cried out to God. That's what the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if you're on TBN, then we've set it out in Hope City Church, but you need to set out 21 days of breaking into heaven, putting your face toward heaven, saying, God, you're the God that changes things. And I'm not just going to sit down in this seat of my past and my brokenness and my despair any longer. I'm going to see a direct and inverse change to my circumstance through the power of God. This is destiny. This is destiny. You don't just want to do a gift analysis thinking that's who I am, because your gifts and your talents are secondary to what God builds on the fault lines of your weakness. God's number one strength in you is the strength that he infuses into you. It's not strength that he imparted at birth into you. It's secondary. The talents and capacity is great, and it's part of the skyscraper of your future. But the foundations, it's got nothing to do with. The true strength of your life is the perfect strength found in the perfection of your weakness. Wherever there's been tragedy, that's where you'll find triumph. The exact opposite to who you think you are. Who you think you are, you're not. Who Jabez thought he was, he wasn't. Born in pain, named pain, but his destiny was freedom. And so he cried out to God. The prayer of Jabez. And this is what he said. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you have blessed me and enlarged my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, that I might be free from pain. And God granted his request, because underneath every prayer is a promise. And the promise for Jabez was that would not be his future. It would only solitarily be his past. God had a greater future that was the opposite to his past. He'd become a man of peace. He'd set up a city that became a city of refuge. He became a man of freedom, the exact opposite to everything that had come upon him all of his life. Hope City Church, start dreaming again. Because you've been consumed by complaint. You've been consumed by frustration. And yet your complaint and your frustration is an indication of the opposite spirit that's about to invade your spirit with incredible power, incredible strength to change you indelibly forever. He's about to tattoo his power upon the flesh of your heart, because that's what God does. That's what God's an expert in doing. He puts his perfect strength upon every one of your perfect weaknesses. So Jabez was singled out because it says he was more honorable than his brothers. He honored God more. And you've got an opportunity to build an edifice for man, a statue to mankind, or to build a worship altar to God. To put aside your grievances, to put aside your self-hatred, to put aside a sense of hating the life that God's given you, to put that at the altar and say, but God, I want to thank you that your destiny is greater and the exact opposite to my dead ends. I want to thank you that your future is far more powerful than my feelings. I want to thank you that your purpose is greater than my pain. It's the exact opposite of my pain. Jabez is honored because he cried out to God. You need to stop sinking in to who you think you are. You need to rise to who God knows you are. You need to stop. While generations laid down in their past and accepted it, stroked it, and dwelt in it, one man rose up in honor to God to leave his past behind. Come on, Hope City Church. Come on, TBN. I'm deadly serious here. This is the way your God works. This is his expertise. This is what he does. Jabez's past was filled with pain and sorrow, but his future will be marked by peace and purpose. Ta-da! This is the God who met you on the day of your salvation. This is the God who'll take you to the peak of success, to the peak of transformation. This is the journey that God's taking you on. Perfect strength. On top of the fault line of your perfect weakness. He didn't sit down in resignation. He called out in consternation. Come on, church. Jabez 21. 21 days of prayer and fasting. It'll change your life. No, seriously. Look at me. It'll change your life. This will change your life. I'm not kidding. We're dealing with a supernatural God who's the king of the universe. This is how he deals with humanity. This will change your life. It's not the wishful thinking of Jabez. It's not the I believe it if I see it of Jabez. It's the prayer. It's the prayer. It's the prayer of Jabez. This will change your life. 21 days of prayer and fast. You'll do it anyway because you want to lose weight. But if you do it with a sense of purpose and do it with a sense of getting into God, getting into his vision, getting into who he is, everything's going to change in your world. If your past is full of family breakdown and division, your God future will be the exact opposite. It will be full of harmony and unity. History in Christ never repeats itself. You'll be called upon as a man of peace or a woman of peace to bridge broken walls of relationship. Now you're the expert at it. You're the expert at something that destroyed you, but now God's built you. If your past is one of abuse and abandonment, your God future is full of wholeness and healing. People think, wow, you must have been born a Christian at birth. Because you're so amazing. No, that's God's transformation. He hides the fault line with glorious skyscrapers of strength that have come from him. You'll be called to mend the brokenhearted with the same power which mended you. Whatever devils you wrestled with as a teenager, your destiny is the complete opposite. you'll be as strong as to then look back and help a generation as broken as. If your past is one of huge self-consciousness and zero confidence, your God future has the word leadership written all over it. People aren't born leaders. People are created leaders through the power, the perfect power of God. If your past is full of sadness and depression, you're probably called to go out with joy and be led forth with peace, to have us rolling all the way, rolling on the floor laughing. Because you think, well, I'm suffering from depression. No, no, your destiny is joy. The devil always afflicts upon the place that is to be your greatest strength. Your destiny is joy. Your destiny is peace. Your destiny is sanity. Your destiny is large thinking. That's your destiny. Stop categorizing yourself according to your past when your destiny is the complete opposite to the dead ends of your past. It's a new day. It's a new day. Come on, Jabez 21. 21 days of a new day. Instead of putting yourself in the bracket of this is who I am, I'm disabled, I'm disadvantaged, I'm a loser from birth. It's because my dad was, because his dad was. You can change that. Through the power of God, you don't have to be what you think you will be. So stop fearing that it'll last for a lifetime, because the truth is that destiny's here to supersede anything that dead ends have placed upon your life. And if you're self-made, together and brought up with the rich and no need for God, your future will be full of humility and honor. Your future will be full of classlessness, helping poor people reach and maximize their destiny for God. Moses stuttered maybe all his life. Yet his calling was to lead an entire generation out from Egypt. He stuttered. What's God doing using a stutterer, a stammerer to lead a gen? God loves this stuff. Gideon was the least in his family, filled with fear and doubt, yet, gosh, who am I going to call, says the Lord? I'm going to call Gideon to be one of the great leaders and deliverers of the history of mankind. Naomi was a widower and yet called by God to be of the line of the tribe of Judah, to become the great-grandmother of King David, to become one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ himself. She was a widow. May I suggest you stop excusing yourself and start placing yourself to be available to God. Because whatever you're not, you actually are. That's how God loves it. David was the youngest and weakest of eight brothers, yet he was the one called, not the others, to become the nation's leader. Peter was impatient. Paul was inculcated in murderous destiny. Timothy was timid and shy. Whatever your excuse is, the truth is the exact opposite. That you'll be bold and fearless because that's what God does to timid and shy people. That you'll be a family maker with more spiritual children in this house because you were made a widow at a young age. Because that's how God loves it. We're going to be laughing at your jokes because you were born a depressive. That your sense of humor, even though a black humor, I'm not talking race here, will be so funny that even the trees will clap their hands and sing for joy as we march into our Canaan under the strength that you give through the joy that you exude. I'm going to give myself an ad break here. You won't get better preaching than this. Equal preaching from Colin. This is your God. What are you doing listening to the philosophy of the television? What are you doing listening to victims on the 6 o'clock news? What are you doing treating that as gospel when the gospel is the exact opposite of people's complaint, of people's problems, of people's no-go areas? God's vision for Jabez was that he'd bless him, he'd enlarge him, and he'd strengthen him. Okay. So God's vision for you is that he would bless you, that he would enlarge you, that he would strengthen you, that you would be bigger, better, stronger than you've ever been in your entire life, because you need to be bigger, better, and stronger, because there's a destiny coming upon your life. And God wants to change you and prepare you for the greatness of what God wants to put on you. It's time for the prayer of Jabez. Bless me, change me, enlarge me, strengthen me. Let your hand be upon me. Free me from pain, because I'm about to enter into my God-given destiny. The prayer was the transition point between weakness and strength. We're in a transition point. You're in a transition point between weakness and strength. It's time to pray, Lord, bless me. Lord, enlarge me. God, strengthen me, that we'd be bigger and better than we've ever been in our entire history, that we'd be stronger, more capable, more empowered than we've ever been in the history of our lives. That's the prayer of Jabez, that eventually you become unrecognizable to your family. Eventually, they don't just see you as a carpenter. They see something of Jesus in you. They see something of a draw card. They see something of a portal hole between heaven and earth, not just a loser from birth. They see something completely different about your life because you've changed. 21 days of Lord, bless me. God, strengthen me. God, enlarge me. It'll change your life. This will change your life. From a truckload of complaints and frustrations to a truckload of destiny and fruitfulness, this will change your life. This is the prayer of Jabez. In verse number 10, it says that Jabez called out to the God of Israel. Think about it. Every word in the Bible is purposeful. He didn't call out to the God of Abraham or the God of Isaac. He called out to the God of Israel. Get it? Do you get that? He called out. He's thinking, who's had a breakthrough? Like the breakthrough I need. He's thinking out of the patriarchs. Who can I piggyback on right now? Who's had a similar experience? Who was cursed by a name all of his life? Who got set free from the name? Who established the destiny? Incredible destiny and influence for the future. Who's been like me? So he cried out to the God of Israel. He knew the story. He knew what happened one night at the ford of Jabbok. Something happened one night when Jacob stood there and wrestled with what he thought was a man, and then he realized it was God. And the God man said to Jacob, what's your name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob, which means deceiver. All of his life had been filled with deception. He got it from his mother. She was a deceiver. She had a prophecy that the oldest of the twins, Esau and Jacob, the oldest would serve the youngest. And so she manipulated destined. She strove, tried to make it happen by getting the younger to dress up as the older while the dad's eyesight was fading so that he would bless the younger with the blessing of the firstborn. He tricked his brother and he tricked his father and lived a life of repercussions of trickery. He was cast out of the land of Canaan under a death threat. He lived with his uncle Laban, who was a trickster himself, and said, if you work 7 years, I'll give you Rachel, the woman of your dreams. He wakes up after 7 years with Leah. And then after another 7 years, he gets Rachel. Now his life is very complicated. Two wives, can do nothing about it. The repercussions of the name deceiver meant that he reaped what he sowed. And for 20 years, he lived a life of reaping everything that he'd sown. And then God said, I want you to get back into destiny, the land of Canaan. And that's what God's done for us, getting us back into purpose, getting us out from pleasure and playfulness, getting us out from no man land, back into the land of dreams, to the land that God has for us. And so he gathers everything he has, everything he owns, and he heads off and he comes to the ford of Jabbok and he realizes something needs to happen. So he sends his wives and he sends his children and he sends his goods over the ford. And then he backtracks and comes back to spend the night all on his own. And it's that night that out of the shadows came a man, God, that wrestled with him until daybreak. I'm going to read you the passage because it's one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. Genesis 32, verse 36. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And the man asked, what's your name? And Jacob replied. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and have overcome, and humans, and have overcome. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. He saw God face to face, his life was spared. His name changed from Jacob, which means deceiver. His nature changed into Israel, which means one who struggles with God and overcame his deceptive nature. Through the power of God, he became an overcomer. Something dramatically changed in his life that was evident in Joseph's life, a man completely pure in heart, a man with no guile, a man that should have had deception running through him. Something happened in Jacob's life when he changed from Jacob to Israel, and the place that was the ford of Jacob became Peniel, and Peniel means face to face, but also you could say it means the place of an overcomer. That your place of isolation right now is destined to be your place of overcoming. That your place of breakdown right now is destined to become your place of breakthrough. Because that's how God works. Jacob found himself all alone. God's stitching you up. You find yourself all alone after a busy Christmas season, thinking it's back to being all alone. No, it's back to being a stitch up. Because God can only change you when you are alone. God can only change you when communication lines are cut off. God can only change you in your lonesomeness. God does his perfect work. And when Jacob was all alone, he met with God. 21 days of prayer and fasting. When you're all alone, that's where you'll meet with God. Jacob wrestled with God, this man God, all night. You might be wrestling with frustrations and with annoyances. You might actually be wrestling with God. You might think it's the devil. You might think it's a human origin. But it's more likely God stitching you up and setting you up for complete surrender. God's probably getting rid of the last bit of your self-effort, the last bit of your self-will, the last bit of your self-energies to set you up for surrender and worship. The touch of God's probably closer than you think right now. Everything that annoys you is probably God trying to annoy you to get the last vestige of self out from you. Some of you look back the last month, how horrible you've been, and some of the thoughts that you thought, and some of the collapses that you've had within yourself. Sometimes that's God. Because there comes a time where God says, what's your name? And there comes a time where you've got to put your hands up and say, deceiver. Self-awareness is the beginning of change. And so some of the times you've come dramatically undone in the last month, it's been a God stitch up. It's just God saying, what's your name? And you thinking, well, I'm pretty good. No. God, I've come unraveled. Treacherous is my name. Deceiver is my name. Unbeliever is my name. Self-pity is my name. Self-centeredness is my name. Anger is my name. Stealer is my name. See, everything starts from a revelation of who you actually are. And in that moment of self-revelation, God says, no. From now on, your name will be Overcomer.